This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Do you feel that? Do you feel the excitement? I haven't felt that pretty much all day because I've been up. You know, I got up early for work. I had a double overtime game to watch last night. It's been a stressful week, but there's hope. There's a new hope. And this is episode 4. Well, 201, technically, of What the Puck. But anyway, this is a new hope for the Capitals as they are in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you feeling about the game so far?
Oh, great. I'm having a grand old time.
Well, you got to give the Caps one thing. They keep it interesting.
Oh, you're certainly not wrong about that one.
All right, so just to start off, we're three games into this series up against Columbus. The Caps are down 2-1 in the series. Give me one word. Just one word to describe this series so far.
I don't think you want me to do that. This is supposed to be a family show.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. One? No, that's two words.
Is that one word or two words?
All right, well, we know where your head's at.
That's two, right?
Yeah, that's two. I'm pretty sure there's a space before the F.
I don't know. Usually when I text it to people, I just use all caps. So, I mean, I'm not really worried about spacing at that point.
Oh, God, you even included their stupid slogan.
Oh, God, I did.
You didn't even notice.
I'm such a mark
You know what? One word to describe the series.
Oh, God, I can't think of the word. I know what I want to say, but it's clearly more than one word. Uneventful by the Caps, I guess.
All right.
Way to put it?
I mean, it's interesting. I was watching the game last night. I think I tweeted this out, or I was thinking it. I don't know if I actually sent it, but I feel like the Caps want it just as bad as Columbus, but Columbus is working harder to get it.
Yeah, they're not working for it. They want to be handed it almost.
They're not working for the weekend.
I could have had to do it. No, I feel like the Caps have played well enough to stay in the games, but not to actually win them. I feel like the play you see from Columbus is a team that is desperate to win a game, and the play you see from the Caps is, it's the middle of December, and we're a little tired, and we're just going through the motions.
It's really weird, because I agree with you on that. If you go to watch like a Vegas Golden Knights game during the playoffs here, and I know it's kind of hard to talk about that, because like, it is their first season, it's their first playoff, so of course they're going to be excited, but like, you see the players, you see the crowd, you hear the announcers, everybody's into it, everybody is super excited, they're like the Caps in 09, and then you watch a Caps game in 2018, and everyone's like, we know what the ending is, we know what's going to happen, we're going to get to the second round, some Penguins, we're going to lose. Like I feel as if the players are projecting that the fans in those first two home games for the Capitals almost felt like a chore. Like they felt like that's what was projected on TV. It was a chore to be there. So it's a different atmosphere. It's not really celebrated. I don't know. But like at the same time, the Caps don't really give you a reason to celebrate the playoffs. We've been here before. We've seen this story play out. This is, you know, it's like a Fast and Furious movie. We know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's uneventful is one thing. Uninspired, I would maybe say. But at the same time, it's not like they're playing bad hockey. I mean, they really are messing with Columbus. They're matching up with them well. If not, I'd have to say they're even dominating. They're dominating Columbus in a lot of aspects. They're doing well against them. They want to win, but it's uninspired, but it's not bad hockey per se.
I agree. It feels like a mid-season game right now with the way the Capitals are playing. I think they're trying to be too cute. Everything is, ooh, let's make another move. Let's make another move and try and make the other team look bad. It's like, no, shoot the goddamn puck on net. Look at all three of their goals last night. They just shot it, created havoc in front, and it went, literally the game-winning goal, which when was the last time we saw them win in double overtime?
it was Madison Square Garden. It was 2010, I think.
No, I want to say it was over the Penguins. Was it Steckel or Beagle who scored? I think Beagle scored and Steckel was out there. Is that right? Or Bradley or some unsung hero went and scored in Pittsburgh in Game 6. But I can't remember the year. But what was I going to say? I don't even remember. Oh, look at the goal last night. Look at the game-winning goal last night. It was just a shot on net, and it ricocheted like a pinball, and it was hit like four different legs, 19 arm, it was going all over the place and just went in the net. And you're like, all right, I'll take it. Like, sometimes you need that kind of luck. But you're not going to get that luck if, A, you don't shoot the damn puck, and, B, you continually dick around with it and try and make every single fancy play you can make, and it doesn't work in the playoffs. Columbus is collapsing on their goaltender, so they're going to block a lot of shots. Yes, you're trying to be cute to move them around, but if they're collapsing, part of it, just shoot the puck, get in the way, create traffic, create havoc in front, crashing it, and the puck will go in.
Here's the thing. I agree with you 100%. And those, when Bobrovsky or any goalie does a kick and the puck goes flying out, there is never, ever a Capital there to hit that rebound. No, there's never one there. And this isn't a Barry Trotz thing. This has been happening for years. I don't know what it is with the Capitals, why everyone has got to be in their specific position at a specific time and just wait to get set up. It is so nerve-wracking and just makes me angry to see that. And this is why it worked. Lars Eller, I'm sure in practice he isn't just standing next to the goaltender like that. It worked in that time, but that's what we need more of. I want to tell you, Devontae Smith-Pelly this series, I've been a huge fan of. He's doing that. He's getting to the crease. He's getting those dirty goals that the Caps should be going for. That's what wins you a cup. It's not the pretty goals all the time. That got you here. You need the dirty ones as well. And somebody says, oh, it's a dirty goal. It's this, that, whatever. That's still a goal. You still win.
Yeah, who cares?
So it's
a win is a win.
Exactly. It's really annoying to see that from the Capitals because you can tell they're just waiting to get set up. I think it was Barry Trotz's first season here, and the Caps were up against the Rangers in the playoffs, and Lundqvist was just giving out these rebounds like to center ice, and there was no Capital there to get that and take another shot on net. That is what I think the Capitals are making the dumbest mistakes in this series with, is that they don't have somebody parked in front of the net just trying to get those cheapies. I think Jay Beagle got a cheapie when he came back in game two, and that's what started it all. But other than that, and Lars Eller, it's too cute. It's too hokey. It makes no sense why there's nobody around. It's like they get to the Columbus zone and everyone's afraid to go over the blue line except for one guy at a time.
Yeah, it's been interesting. The way that they're playing is just, it's nowhere near as good as it should be, considering what they are fighting for. It's a bit repetitive, but it just seems like it's... Now, there's a point I wanted to bring up, and I don't know how much... I mean, it's kind of a silly argument to make because you can never really prove what it may be, but is this team up 2-1 in this series or up 3-0 if Holpe's in net from the beginning? Because I don't think it's entirely Grubauer's fault, but I do think he did not play as well as he should have.
Well, all right, so everybody on Twitter and Facebook and all those places are going, we'd be up 3-0 if Holpe was in net. Why didn't we play Holpe? Why didn't we play Holpe?
I don't know if I go that far.
Grubauer had the hot hand at the end of the year. Holpe was shaky for the last month or so. I have zero qualms with Barry Trotz for starting Grubauer. I said it last week. We need to start Grubauer. He's the hot hand. That's what you do. Whoever's got the hot hand in the goaltending position, that's who you go with. Hindsight 2020, would I have started Braden Holtby? You know, he's got the long contract. He has been good. I mean, I've been a fan of his since he was in Hershey or even South Carolina back in the day. So I would have loved to have seen Holtby start that. But Grubauer was proving himself to be a number one goaltender. So no, I don't blame Barry Trotz for starting Grubauer in that position. You got to remember, Braden Holtby came in the third period of game two, faced 9 shots and blocked 8 of them. He still gave up a goal pretty early on starting that game. Now, you could say rink rust or something like that because he hasn't played in a while. But Braden Holtby, I mean, great goaltender, doing well, very happy with what he's doing in game 3. Obviously, he's going to start game 4. But would the series be any different if he had started all 3 games? I don't know. Honestly, I'm not positive that it would be any different.
I think they win game 2. I don't know about game 1, but I think they win game 2 if Holtby's in net. And it's because I just think Grubauer did not play as well as he should have. I think the defense has been in no way a help to him. And I think if they lose this series, I want to see the defense get a bit of reworking in terms of the players that are brought back, there it is, next season. I think that the defense was not very helpful last night at times. I think they played better. But I think the first game, game 1 and game 2, the defense should have played better. I think Grubauer should have been better. He was very good at times. I think he was actually quite good in the first game, even though they lost. It's the second game where I think he sort of fell off. And, you know, it makes you wonder, if Holtby was in, would they have won that game? I want to say yes.
I honestly don't know. This defense, you know, Niskanen and Orpik were brought in years ago to make this defense better. At the time, I think they did, but this defense right now is in disarray. Orpik is Orpik. There's no reason to even argue what he brings or doesn't bring to the table anymore.
He brings veteran leadership.
Sure.
what he doesn't bring is speed. A lot of skill anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Kepney and Jarabek, I think they're doing pretty well.
I like Kepney. Jarabek, I think it made sense to bring Juice in. I felt like the Blue Jackets were kind of picking on Juice a bit in game 3. Like, they were going after him, trying to hit him as much as they could, trying to get him off his game. But I thought the kid played well. I think he definitely earned the chance to play in the next game.
But that's the thing with this team and who they're facing. It's a lot of young players. I think Christian Juice does match up really well with the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's a little bit younger. He's got some speed behind him. I think that is important. So I would be fine with Juice getting a sweater for the rest of the series. Does he get one if the Caps were to move on? I don't know if I'd do that every game. I'd like to see what else he brings to this series before I make that assumption. But Juice has been very good in what I have seen him in. What about Dmitry Orlov? What are your thoughts on him on this series?
I like Orlov. I think he brings a lot to the table offensively. I think he's had his mistakes, but so has everybody else. Had his mistakes? Made his mistakes? I think made his mistakes is the way you're supposed to put that. I think that Orlov is... I think he's overpaid a little bit, but that's not really what you're asking me about. I think he's played well overall. I think he did some really good things last night, but he's also made some mistakes here and there. So, but everybody has, so I find it hard to be like, get him out, when he's not the only one.
Yeah, I'm not going to say get him out of the game, but Dmitry Orlov has made some mistakes in this series where I'm like, you should know better than that. Like, you've been playing this game long enough, you should really... not to make that mistake. But I'm not going to throw him under the bus and say he's the problem with the defense, because he's far from our worst problem. But John Carlson has been making quite an impact. He's doing so well right now. I don't know how the Caps will afford him next year.
Pay the man.
I don't want to see him leave, but he is the backbone of the defense. He's kind of the heart and soul, I would say, of the defense. He's doing really well. I don't know how you let him leave.
You don't. You pay the man. as we've already discussed.
I think it's going to be a... I wonder if their supposed chase for Erik Karlsson is going to make it that much more difficult to keep him around, because word is that he's not, or he wasn't really happy that they tried to go and get Erik Karlsson at the expense of trading him, and that he may be thinking again about whether he wants to stick around. So that's a problem. So I hope he's back. It's going to be really bad if he's not, to be honest, because this team needs some help defensively. This is not a team as they are assembled, as they are put together right now, that you really think is going to win the cup, but you'd like to see at least the effort to try and do it. And you know, sometimes people can surprise you, but I don't know. You can't let Karlsson go. I think the guy plays too well. You know, you kind of wonder if it's one of those things where he knows it's a contract year, and so he's playing his you-know-what off, and maybe he'll ease up next year. I don't think that's the case. I hope that isn't the case, but I do think that this team can't afford to let him go.
I agree with that, and there's one way to re-sign him, and that is maybe potentially let Tom Wilson go and take some of that money Tom Wilson's been making and give it to John Karlsson, because Tom Wilson has had an absolutely atrocious series against Columbus.
Yeah. I feel like you and I go back and forth on him all the time. We're like, get him out! And then sometimes it's, all right, he's actually doing better now. But
this was his best season so far in his career. I will say that.
His best regular season.
Correct. Best regular season so far, and I expected that to come over to the playoffs, but it seems as if he's kind of reverting back to those younger years where he was just a goon.
He takes stupid... See, I don't know if I go so much with the gooning. I mean, maybe that hit in the game one. But I feel like he takes stupid penalties. He's not lazy, but he takes lazy penalties. Like the one in, I want to say, the first period last night, where instead of trying to skate and catch up to the man, he just kind of like threw his shoulder down and tried to put a stick out to knock the puck away or whatever it was, slow the Blue Jacket player down. And all he ended up doing was causing more problems. So, and taking a penalty. So, I feel like he's one of those guys in the offseason that you're looking at going, if we need to shake up this roster, maybe he's the guy we move out because we can bring in someone else that may be able to get the same point production without the same amount of penalties.
All right, so here's something I want the audience and you to think about the future of Tom Wilson in this on this team. Tom Wilson has a reputation. He is not well liked around the league from other players, which I'm sure no one really cares about.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
He's not very well liked among the referee staff. So when you do get to the playoffs where penalties matter and who's on the ice matters the most, Tom Wilson has a reputation to hurt people and has a reputation of taking a lot of penalties. So when a ref sees him just maybe potentially do something that he shouldn't be doing, or they're like, all right, we're blowing the whistles, this happened, Tom, you're out, we saw you at least do something. Is that good to have on this team? Because I'm not saying that he's a bad guy or that he's doing anything wrong, but at the same time, these refs are looking at him, and if they're constantly going to be calling him for penalties that he may or may not be, it might be a soft penalty or something like that. That's still a guy that's lost on the ice. That's still a guy that isn't helping you win. He's a top line guy right now. Top line Tom with OV and Kuznetsov. So, or Backstrom, depending on the time of day and who Barry Trotz decides to have out there. But is he adding enough to this team to risk losing him for so much ice time because he's going to be in the penalty box because of his reputation and what he could potentially do in the ref's eyes?
Let me help you out here, Brandon. The answer is no. You're welcome. You're welcome, sir. Look at it this way. Wilson, who is scheduled to be a restricted free agent after coming off of a deal where his cap hit was $2 million a year, he got 14 goals, 21 assists for 35 points. So he's behind Eller, TJ Oshie, Karlsson, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, and Ovechkin. is he worth what he's likely going to make? Is he going to, you know, I don't know if he'll want his salary to be double necessarily, but I'm sure I could see him and his representatives asking for that. I don't think a guy that has 35 points, that has 187 penalty minutes, although I'd be curious of how many of those are fighting majors, but for a guy who takes that many penalties, who's spending that much time off the ice each season, should not be a top-line guy. And if he wants top-line money, he needs to have better production, less time in the penalty box, and that's just not what we're seeing. Depending on what they could get for him, because I don't think they're going to be able to get a top-line player for Tom Wilson in terms of a trade unless you package him with someone else or a pick, I wouldn't necessarily be disappointed if they moved him out after the season.
Like maybe at the draft or something like that to get a higher spot?
Well, no. I don't want him for a pick. I want him for a roster player. Now, whether it's a second-line player, a third-line player, you know, if you move him out for, like, a first-round pick, well, no one's going to do that. But I prefer if you're going to move out from a guy like Wilson, you're bringing someone else in.
No, I'm not even going to ask that. It's a stupid question. I don't know about Tom. Honestly, this has been kind of an eye-opening series where we really thought he made the steps forward to be a better player and to be a top-line guy. And I honestly, I think his reputation is getting before him. I think that referees are calling him some justly, some unjustly, but it's just like, oh, you tripped a guy, one that in the playoffs probably wouldn't be whistled. Because it's Tom Wilson, he's going to be whistled. So I think that is more of a detriment to this team than anything else. So we'll see what the future brings for Tom Wilson. I don't know how much longer he's going to be in a red sweater, but we will see. One guy who didn't get to finish game two, didn't play game three, was Andrei Burakovsky. It looks like he's going to be out. I'm not really sure for how long, but he suffered an upper body injury. What did you see without Andrei Burakovsky on the ice for game three? What did we miss?
Not much.
Not a great season for the Barracuda.
I mean, he has... I can't remember if he got a point in... No, he played two games, 0 points. A game in a little bit. 0 points. Regular season... Oh, God, get this loading me slower. Burakovsky, 25 points. Not great from a guy who has a lot of... You're expecting a lot more from. Not expecting him necessarily to be Marcus Johansson of last season, but you're expecting more from him, and you're not really seeing it. Now, that doesn't mean that you necessarily just give Vrana, although Vrana, given he played almost 20 more games, had two more points. So points per game, I guess Burakovsky's probably going to have better numbers than Vrana. How old are the two of them now that I think of it? 23, Vrana's 22. All right, so they're close in age. I don't know. I feel like we didn't see enough from Burakovsky this season. I don't feel like him being out necessarily hurt the team in the rest of game two. I mean, maybe because they were down a player, but it didn't hurt the team necessarily in game three. So if he comes back and when he comes, ideally when he comes back, if he can step it up, that'd be great. But if not, I don't think you're necessarily giving up on him at this point. But for a guy who only got, what did I say his point total was? Somewhere in the 20s, that for $3 million a year, you're expecting a lot more than that.
Definitely, you're expecting a lot more than that.
And maybe this is just one rough season for him, and next season he tears it up.
Not one. This has been kind of an ongoing situation with Burakovsky. Last year was the same thing. This year was the same thing. Barry Trotz has not been a big fan of his for a while. I mean, he did send Andrei Burakovsky to Hershey there, I think his first year he was here. So the two of them don't really get along. So we'll see who lasts longer, but whatever. Jacob Vrana stepped in for Burakovsky as well. He didn't play in game one, I believe, right? Vrana missed game one?
Wait, hold on. I thought he played game one.
Or did he miss game two? He was scratched for one of them.
He got scratched for game two. He played in game one because he assisted on, oh my God, Svitpelli's goal?
I think so.
Yeah. Whoever's goal? Chiasson? Yeah. Someone. No, Chiasson. Chiasson doesn't score. He got the assist on the goal in the first game. I believe the game tying goal, I want to say. So he definitely I was surprised to see him. He made a couple of mistakes in game one, but so did a lot of people. I was surprised to see that he was out of the lineup in game two.
And I'm a little bit more forgiving of Varana because this is his first playoff run. This is his first true NHL year on the ice. So him sitting out of game two, I don't really blame Barry Trotz for doing that, even though I think you do need somebody like him with the speed and talent that he has to be on the ice. But with Burakovsky out and Varana in, does that change this team up at all, do you think? I mean, you just talked about it. They were pretty well matched together, and it seems like if one's playing, one isn't. Does Varana bring anything different to the team than Burakovsky does?
I mean, Varana brings a lot of speed.
Yeah.
You know, so defenses have to be aware of that for the opposing team because he can fly down the ice. So I think, and not that Burakovsky is necessarily, you know, a guy who's skating in snow. He's not Brooks Orpik or Jeff Schultz. He's got some speed himself. But Varana is incredibly fast. It brings a little bit different. I think Varana, you know, I'd like to see him shoot a little bit more.
That would be nice.
I'd like to see a lot of the team shoot a little bit more. Though team-wise, they had a decent amount of shots last night. It was double overtime, so the numbers are inflated a bit. It was like in the 50s. But you would hope to see Varana take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't know if he truly has taken advantage of it just yet. It still seems like he's a little shy on the ice.
And it's his first NHL season. I think Trotz came out and said that the reason he was up in the press box in game two was more because of he felt like he was too nervous when he was playing. Which I can understand. At 22 years old, you're playing the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're going to be a bit antsy. But
yeah. I'm 32. I'd be nervous.
Yeah, so just, you know, you just got to settle down, keep playing. I don't think he necessarily... If Rana's in game two, I don't think they win that game. If Holtby's in net, I think they win that game. But... I think Verano's a good player, and he needs to keep getting more experience, and you're only going to get that by playing.
That's very true. So we're three games into this series. Do the Caps know that they don't have to play in overtime?
You know, I'm not sure. I think this team believes it's actually four periods in a game.
I was wondering, like, if they were like King Kong Bundy back in the day, who always counted to five instead of three after he won a match. Like, they do realize they can just end this at three. Like,
it'd be nice. This is like years ago when they didn't. They always thought they had to. Go to game sevens. And it was like, guys, you don't. Technically, you could win it in four if you want.
If you really wanted to.
Yeah, you could. So do that. So Caps, you don't have to play four periods or five. You can play three and win it that way.
What is it about this team that gets a two-goal lead and then kind of takes their foot off the gas and chills a little bit? Because games one and two, I was watching and the Caps are up 2-0. And I'm like, well, they still have like 45 minutes to play. Anything can happen, and
they'll find a way to screw it up.
Knowing the Caps, they're going to let this one slip by, and they have. Like, is it honestly just the fact that Columbus is hungrier than they are, and the Caps really don't want to play, or is there something else? Is it a lack of coaching? What is it about this team that lets these leads slip away, lets these games slip away, and why do they want to call it after 20 minutes?
I wonder if part of it is they start thinking too defensively, and so they just allow teams to continually come at them.
More like a Dale Hunter type of hockey?
Yeah, but I mean, if you were doing the last like 10 minutes
of the third period, like I understand that.
Not the last 45.
But not when you're up, you know, 12 minutes in. Or I wonder if part of it is that they are just, they ease up a bit. They're too relaxed. They're too confident, or they're too comfortable with how they're playing. And they let teams back in that way because they think, oh, well, we can just continue to do our thing and we'll be fine. And that's just not the case.
See, there was a thing that Ovechkin said last year when they lost Game 7 to the Penguins. Night I was watching Metallica. I was very sad when I got home. But he said, you know, we just weren't motivated. Dude, it's Game 7.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Against the Penguins, your arch rival. How is that, like, if you were writing a movie script, that would be the climactic ending. How are you not motivated for that? If they're not motivated...
That's your arch villain.
Right. You know, if you're Batman, they're the Joker. The Joker never wins at the end. How are you not motivated for that? So if something like that doesn't get these guys motivated, what do you think is motivating them right now?
Honestly, I think at the moment it's just playing for fun. Which,
like, it doesn't seem very fun, though.
Which, for I like playing hockey. I'm going to go out and play. This, okay, whatever. I got to have fun and make a lot of money doing it.
And now I can just go to Worlds and have fun there.
Yeah, right. I don't think that's necessarily the case. You know, I wonder if part of it is the players. I think part of it is the coaching. That's why part of me is like, I think I was talking with Ryan Drury about this, that I want to see a trade to the level of the Nashville-Montreal trade of Shea Weber for PK Subban. If this thing ends in they're out in the first round, I think they need something that's going to be a bit of a wake-up call for this team.
Well, all right, so who's your PK Subban?
I don't know. that's the weird part, because, like, okay, so in this scenario, like, first of all, let's all acknowledge the fact that if they lose in this first round, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork. Trade Ovechkin!
Oh, there already are, dude. There already are people.
And you know what? If they get a phenomenal package, fine. But I'll say the same thing for every player. Wayne Gretzky can get traded. Anybody can get traded.
Okay? Yeah, that's very true.
But I don't anticipate that necessarily being the case. Although, what certainly makes an interesting point with their salary cap. No, is it Backstrom? I don't think so. I think he's one of maybe two guys or three guys that you're like, nope.
If you are keeping Ovechkin, I feel as if you're keeping Backstrom as well. To me, those guys are kind of a package deal.
I think of, honestly, and I'm not saying this just because they're down in 2-1 in the series, but between Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Backstrom, the one guy I would move out would actually be Ovechkin.
Wow, really?
And I honestly, those are my three that I wouldn't touch.
But, like, Ovechkin's the only guy that's been scoring this series, except for Lars Eller in that one goal.
Well, the team lead, he's got two in four games, because Netsov's got two, though they were both in the same game. Actually, so were Ovechkin's, I think, I believe. Carlson's got one, Oshie's got one, Smith-Pelly's got one, Eller's got one, Wilson's got one, and Beagle's, that Wilson goal was nice. You know, we don't have to trash him all the time. Beagle's got one. Backstrom is leading. No, I'm sorry. Carlson's leading in assists with six. He's leading the team in points. And then Backstrom with five. I think you re-sign Carlson. I think the guys that you could potentially move out if you want to make a PK Subban for Shea Weber type of trade. And I'm not saying this because he's a defenseman. But you could look at moving someone like Matt Niskanen, because I think that will – I don't like the idea, but I think that will shake this team up a bit. I don't, you know, you could trade Orpik. I don't think this shakes up this. I don't think that is a like a whoa, oh my god, kind of trade. I just think that'd be helpful with salary cap. Or TJ Oshie. But if you really want to, like, shake this team up, I'm not saying I necessarily want any of those things to happen, but part of me does feel like it might be necessary to wake them up. Because if you go and you move out Wilson, it's like, oh, all right.
Well, I mean, fun.
Yeah, it was nice to have him. He'd be kind of a dick from time to time on the ice. But, you know, but if you move out a guy that's well-known, not so much well-known, but a guy that is a big contributor, he's a big veteran leader on the team, and you're like, this is not good enough, we're going to go bring in somebody else. And I'm stealing the point from Ryan Drury, that the Caps don't really have a lot of guys on this roster that have made it far in the playoffs before or have won it all. So you don't have that guy that's going to get in there and be like, look, we need to be – super dirty right now. Not Brad Marchand levels of dirty, but dirty in the sense of crashing the net and clean up the garbage in front. You don't have that from these veteran leaders. We know how far Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Backstrom have been. Oshie's never made it that far. Eller, I don't know how much of he's a leader, but he hasn't made it that far. Beagle is one of the older veteran guys on the forward lines, and he hasn't made it that far. Niskanen and Orpik have won the cup in Pittsburgh. But that's just two dudes. You know, if you go and you look at some of the teams in the past, they've had guys that have won it all. I think Ryan makes a good point that you need someone that knows you have to just throw everything at it to win.
But they've had those guys in the past. They've had Troy Browers.
Yeah, but you've had like Brower won in Chicago.
Yeah.
I was like, he didn't win it. No, but you have like one or two guys. I think you need to shake it up, bring in a veteran. You know, it's almost like say that, but Niskanen was supposed to be that guy. I don't know. Or maybe they need a guy like Columbus going out and getting Ian Cole on the defensive end who will do the dirty, you know, he'll crash not crash the net. He'll crash his own net to get somebody to clear a guy out. You know, he played really well for Pittsburgh, and he's playing well for Columbus now. And you kind of wonder if that's the guy, not knowing his cap hit at the moment, but if that's the guy that the Caps should have been going after. And not knowing what they gave up to get him. Columbus, that is. So, yeah, it's – I don't want to talk about the offseason yet necessarily, but – not that big of a cap hit. But it'll be interesting if they end up getting knocked out. But I think last night, if they had scored like a real like nice goal, I think that's been more of a momentum booster. Like when that puck went in, I was like, all right, it's a bit of a boost momentum-wise, but it was also really lucky. So you're not like, yeah, we did it. You're like, yeah, we got lucky and won. So I don't feel like it's quite as big of a momentum boost as it should be.
I mean, it's definitely going to be a momentum booster because they were down.
But by how much?
Yeah, they were down 0-2, and they definitely didn't want to go into the hole of 0-3. So, I mean, 1-2 sounds a lot better than 0-3. So, I mean, that's at least something. But I think the part that makes it the does make it work. Like you're saying, it wasn't a pretty goal. They won't be that motivated. I think this is actually really good that it was a dirty goal and that it wasn't Ovechkin scoring it. This was the third line. This was Connolly. This was Eller. This was Devontae Smith-Pelly. Three guys that I'm pretty big fans of, and one guy, Lars Eller, who I've not spoken very well of in the past, and I admit that, but he, you know, I'm very happy with what he did in game three. But you have Brett Connolly kind of redeeming himself after that offside penalty, so the goal became disallowed. Devontae Smith-Pelly, he's been an absolute monster on the ice this season. I think he's a free agent coming up. I would definitely like to see him get re-signed.
He's a restricted free agent, yeah.
Yeah, give him more money. I'm fine with that. But I think it's good that it was the third line. We've always said it can't just be Ovi. And when it's not Ovi making the goals, I think that's good for the whole team because everyone on that team knows they're not as good as that guy. So you don't need him being even better than he already is. So if you can have lesser players get goals, it motivates them going like, all right, we can do this. Our captain's not a rah-rah guy. We have to motivate ourselves and look, we can score too. We can do it too. So I think this is a good thing, and I like the way it was scored. I think it is a booster, but at the same time, like, this team really shouldn't need a booster because they're doing everything great except for scoring. Like, they really are. I'm impressed with a lot of the play. As the game progresses, they get slower and slower because a lot of them are older, but
they're getting tired of those legs.
Yeah, they're Dude, definitely getting tired.
Some of these guys you could see in the double overtime that are just like,
I want to go home.
God. Well, it's Columbus's, which was a really nice goal, but it never should have come to that. Their play where Orlov was, I don't know if he's going to shift or what, but dude was just like, I am not catching up to this play. Now, if that wasn't the end of his shift, he needs a slap upside the back of his head.
Now, he's a guy, let me tell you, he's a guy, if we did a Shea Weber PK Subban trade and we lost Orlov, I'd be okay with it.
I don't think he would have quite the impact. Maybe. See, it also depends on who you bring in. So, like, Nashville brought in Subban, who not only is an incredibly good hockey player, but he's also a huge personality.
Yes.
So, but they already have that in Ovechkin, so you don't really need another one. But, it's one of those things where you wonder, you're like, I think, I don't know, part of me is like, it's either Oshie or Niskanen if you want to make that kind of gigantic shakeup.
Niskanen I'd be fine with, but
I like Matt Niskanen. I don't want him to leave. If you're going to go that route, and I think if they get knocked out in this round, they do need to go that route in terms of this team needs a shakeup. It's not a fire sale. We're not trading all the big name guys, but I do think the roster needs a bit of reworking.
Yeah, and we knew that going into this series. This team was never supposed to get this far. So,
as you get this far, they just look better at it. Well, no, not look better. We didn't think they were going to be quite as good. We didn't think they were going to be first in the division.
We thought they were going to be in Columbus's spot.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Right around there. I'd say that's fair.
But, I don't know. I'm very intrigued to see what Game Four brings. I'm hoping that this goal and this win did motivate them to come back to DC. We know that They're at least coming back to DC on Saturday. That game's going to be at 3 o'clock. We know that the NHL set that time. So, but being at home really didn't seem to matter to these guys either. They dropped the first two at home. But we'll see. We'll see. Do you have any, I mean, I know you don't want to jinx them or anything, but anything you want to say about them going forward?
Yeah. Win a god face off.
Well, JB can't be there all the time.
Win a god face off. It's ridiculous. It wasn't like, was it game two or game one? I want to say it was game two where they were like losing in face offs, like 30 to 12. And I was like, what the hell? Like, that's how many offensive opportunities are completely blown because they couldn't win the faceoff?
Right.
How many of Ovechkin's goals are because someone won the faceoff back to him and he just ripped it on net?
Can we talk about the coach's challenge as well and the whole offside thing?
Yeah.
So I understand that Brett Connolly was offsides and he made himself offsides, but is there like a time cutoff of when a coach can challenge whether or not somebody's offside or not?
I mean, it's essentially the start of the play. So if that puck had come out of the zone and then legally come back in and they scored, it wouldn't matter anymore. Because I'm fairly confident this is correct, that the play, once the puck comes out of the zone, then it doesn't matter anymore if they're offside. Because at that point, you know, are they going to be like, oh, well, that guy came in offside in the first minute of the game, but it's the third period now.
That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, I feel like once the puck leaves the offensive zone, then it won't matter anymore.
So let's just say hypothetically somebody comes in offside, passes it twice, and then the third person to touch the puck gets a goal. They're going to still say, oh, this guy was offside when this play started.
It hasn't come out of the zone yet.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's the cutoff, I guess.
I don't like it.
I'm 100. Ryan Drury, tweet us, help us out if this is incorrect. I feel like this is probably correct, though. Like, I feel like it has to be at the start of the when they go in. So if the puck goes out of the zone, it doesn't matter anymore.
I don't like it. Don't like it. If there's goalie interference, sure, then I say.
You don't like it now, but when that goes the Caps way, you're going to be like, yes, greatest goal ever.
So that I'll never not like it is what you're saying, because that'll never go the Caps way.
That's a good point.
The refs, by the way, have just been brutal to the Capitals. How many times is Ovechkin or Oshie going to get smacked in the face with a stick and they're just going to let it go?
Like, see, I felt like that.
Does he have to bleed?
Well, that one was pretty bad, but I felt like they had to call the tripping penalty last night on
Carlson.
Was it Carlson?
Yeah.
Because it was just so blatantly obvious. It was right in the middle of the ice. And you're like, all right, we kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
Because that one was stupid. But there were some they let go that you're like, all right, there's a bit of inconsistency. It seemed like for the most part they let the guys play last night. But there's been a bit of inconsistency. But I feel like it's been throughout just in general. So, I mean, the refs are human. They make mistakes. It's the reality of sports, I guess.
Yeah. They're dumb.
Fair enough.
All right. Anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
One quick piece of news is Ovechkin won the Maurice Rocket Richard Trophy. So congratulations to him. He'll come away with a little personal silverware this season.
I'm sure he loves that trophy.
He's got a bunch of them.
Do you think they'll actually they'll name a trophy after him down the road?
No,
I don't either.
I think the trophy names are probably going to stay.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying change that one. I'm saying, but like, remember he played like he played like the most games ever for a Russian or something a couple years ago, and they'll name like the next Russian that does that, you know, like an Ovechkin Award or something like that.
No, because they don't really have an award for that. It's just like a notoriety, or just like a little thing that they will talk about, but. I think if they ever make a new award, it'll be for the best offensive defenseman.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation about the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Caps. We still got plenty more to talk about. We're going to go down on the farm and around the NHL. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, nothing is going on in Hershey, so let's head down to South Carolina where they are involved in their round one series against Orlando. Oh, Brandon, where they are currently down 2-0.
Oof.
It's not great. They're going to try and get back into this thing tomorrow in Orlando, followed up with game 4 on Saturday. Also, in Orlando, it's the ECHL. They got the weird thing where it's, you know, they do 2-3 and then 2. So it's Thursday in Orlando is game 3. Game 4 is Saturday in Orlando. And then game 5, if necessary, let's hope it's necessary, will be on Sunday, also in Orlando. Then, if necessary, game 6 is at home at the North Charleston Coliseum on Tuesday, with a hopefully, I guess they wouldn't need it if they win the next 4, but I don't anticipate that happening. So game 7, if necessary, will be on Wednesday, also at the North Charleston Coliseum. Now, we have some other bits of Stingrays news. First is that goalie Parker Milner was named the ECHL Goaltender of the Year.
All right.
So congratulations to him.
Is he in the cap system at all, or is he just a guy?
I think he's just a guy. That sounds mean. It's just some dude hangs out. I mean, South Carolina.
He could be a career ECHLer making $20,000 a year. I don't know.
The other bit of news that Stingrays announced that they will have a new ownership soon, as current majority owners, the Zucker family, will be selling the franchise
to us.
Yeah, right. To businessman Todd Halloran. The Zucker family will maintain a minority interest in the team. Word is that the franchise will remain in South Carolina at the North Charleston Coliseum and maintain the relationships with Hershey and the Caps.
Well, that's good.
That is good to know until Baltimore gets an ECHL team. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, unfortunately, the Bears with no playoff time at all kind of sucks, but we'll see you next year. South Carolina, keep doing your thing. Let's win some games. Get the Kelly Cup. Go Stingrays. Bears, see you in September. All right. That's it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. It is the Stanley Cup playoffs for the East, the West. Everybody's playing hockey on every single night. God, I love it. I have no idea what's going on the Flash because I'm watching so much hockey. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start up in Calgary, where they have fired head coach Glenn Gulitzen. So it's another – that's what, second coach who's been fired this season? I would imagine there might be two – maybe one or two more?
Potentially.
And that's just one more spot. Yeah, we'll see what happens after this round, first round. And then Toronto's Nazem Kadri was suspended 3 games for his stupid hit in game 1 against Boston's Tommy Wingles. And Winnipeg's Josh Morrissey has been suspended for 1 game for his cross-check on Minnesota's Eric Staal. The NHL announced finalists for 2 of their awards. The Vezina Trophy finalists were announced. Winnipeg's Connor Hellebuyck, Nashville's Pekka Rinne, and Tampa's Andre Vasilevsky are the finalists for that award. And the Selke finalists have also been announced. Boston's Patrice Bergeron, Philly's Sean Couturier, and LA's Anze Kopitar are the finalists for that award. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Coach, you're missing a big chunk of news.
You want to go into the Stanley Cup playoffs, I would imagine?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's different than what we normally do. We then go on to the next part, talking about the playoffs.
All right.
Should we do a playoffs update?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll start in the West. We're Nashville. This doesn't include tonight's games, everyone. So when you listen to this tomorrow, this is old news. Start. Nashville is up 2-1 on Colorado. Not much of a surprise there, except for I thought they'd be up 3-0 at this point. Winnipeg is up 3-1.
Yeah.
On Bruce Boudreau's Minnesota Wild. Vegas. They're like the little team that can or could or whatever that stupid train is about. They swept the LA Kings. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, hey, coach.
Yeah. What can I do for you?
Who was it that said that Vegas was going to sweep the Kings? Was it you?
Yeah, it was me, actually.
I might have to listen to the last podcast, because I don't think it was you. I'm pretty sure it was this guy who said Vegas was going to sweep the Kings.
It was your cat?
Marley is pretty hockey smart, but I'm pretty sure it was the guy talking right now who said Vegas in 4 games.
I really expected more from LA.
I did not.
I really expected more from an LA
and
from the Kings.
The Golden Knights know how to throw a friggin' party, man.
Well, it's Vegas knows how to throw a party.
Yes, but the first
game... the guy who runs their Twitter.
Yes, oh, 100%. But that first game with the King versus the Knight at center
ice... That was so dumb.
That was so cheesy, but so Vegas, I loved it.
So dumb.
I cannot wait to see what else they bring up.
Oh, God, I'm a little scared. They are likely going to be taking on San Jose as they're up 3-0 against Anaheim. Let's head back over to the East, where Tampa Bay is up 2-1 on the Devils. Boston is up 2-1 on Toronto. We know Columbus is up 2-1 on the Caps. And Pittsburgh is up 2-1 on Philly.
I got to say, real quick, for the West, I am a little shocked about San Jose and Anaheim.
I don't remember what I said last week.
I know I picked Anaheim, but I thought they'd put up a little bit more of a fight.
This freaking Penguins-Pittsburgh. This Pennsylvania series, Pittsburgh's up 4-0 right now in the second period on the Flyers. Are these guys aware that they're allowed to play defense? Like, for Christ, like, every freaking game between these guys, like, one of these teams is getting 43 goals. Tampa's up 2-1 on the Devils at the end of the first, so, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what's that's a little roundup of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's been some good hockey. I've had a good time watching these games. So, I love this time of year. It's a great time of year. Unless you're a Caps fan, then it's like the most nerve-wracking time of the year. But anyway, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, complaining about the Washington Capitals from time to time, as well as Arsenal Football Club and how they're terrible, except for when they play in the Europa, and even there a little bit. DC United's back. They're not doing so well. Stadium's opening soon. That'll be cool. Screw the Skins. Not talking about them anymore, as well as some other fun things going on in the wide world of sports. But hey, if you like the show, if you're still listening at this point, why don't you go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, where we post all kinds of fun things related to the Washington Capitals and the NHL, and it's a great place to find out when we have new shows. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, can you do us a favor?
Sure.
If you're not, I thought you were going to respond. I gave you a beat and then you didn't respond right away. I know what we're going with. If you don't mind, we'll get it next time. If you don't mind, would you be able to tell everybody about Brando Cash Entertainment?
I guess so.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
You can go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the podcasts that we do here. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero. Is anyone still using Vero? I think it's already dead.
I don't even know what that is. is.
Yeah. So Coach Dan doesn't know, but I'm going to keep mine open just to keep my name. But anyway, say I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I still got the faith. They can get this done. I believe in them. What the Puck believes in them. And you should too. Listen to What the Puck. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. Game 4 against Columbus in Columbus is at 7:30 on April 19th. You can watch that locally here on NBC Sports Washington or on the USA Network. And then on Saturday, April 21st, the Capitals come home to D.C. to the former phone booth. I don't know what we call it now. That game is at
the bank.
Is that well? That's M&T Bank. That's the stadium in Baltimore. So I can't call both the bank.
Well, I am.
All right, go ahead. That game's at 3 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC or NBC Sports. And then, if needed, there's a game 6.
Let's hope it is.
Yes, let's hope on Monday in Columbus. No time selected yet because we don't know if we're going to need it or not, but I'm going to assume 7:30, and I'm going to assume you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We'll be back on the 24th recording a show. I'm hoping it's not What the Puckies. I'm hoping we're talking about game 7 and how to win it, but we'll find out. Got a lot of hockey left. Plenty of games. We can win them. Caps can do it. Do you have the faith, Coach Dan?
I'll tell you after tomorrow's game.
All right, guys. That's it for the show this week. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The fans at those first two home games. Hold on. Sorry.
No backups for 1727 days.
My my laptop had to tell me there were no backups for 1700 days, so that's nice.
Just a heads up.
where was I? Oh.